My sermon this morning is prepared primarily for our confirmands, as you could imagine. But if you listen carefully, it will help you as well. In the past 3 months, I prayed about what advice I would give to our young believers on their confirmation. I wanted them to have an ongoing relationship with God first, and second, I wanted them to have divine guidance throughout their lives, and thirdly, I wanted them to have true security, happiness, and contentment all found in the Lord. So I decided to give them three pieces of advice. Three things that I recommend them to continually practice for the rest of their lives. If you want all these things happening and living out in your life. One thing to do daily, one thing to do weekly, and one thing to do monthly. If they follow my advice, they will lay out the lifelong foundation for their faith. If they continue on my advice, they will also harvest and enjoy the fruit for the rest of their lives and beyond. By the way, I asked myself, have I been walking the talk? And the honest answer is yes. In other words, I can solemnly testify before the Lord and before you, the congregation, that I have been practicing all three of them in the past 40-some years in my personal life. In fact, these godly habits shaped me into who I am today, a believer in Christ first and husband and father and pastor, as you know. My life has been a truly blessed one. I have been secure and content and happy in the Lord, and without these habits, I must admit, my life would have been quite different from the one I have. To begin with, a self-centered one for sure, and even with a possibility of being an alcoholic. I came from the alcoholic family. So what are the three pieces of advice I'm going to give to our confirmands? Number one, take God's word seriously. Why God's word, the Bible, you may wonder? Because the Bible is the food for your soul. Did you know what Jesus says? He says, man, humanity cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's why. Why the Bible? Because the Bible is map to heaven. It will direct you to heaven. Psalmist says this, 119:105 says, thy word, meaning the Bible, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So I encourage all the confirmands and the rest of us as well, spending 15 minutes every day. You think 15 minutes a lot? Not really, if you consider how much time you spend on the things that you like to do. But the key is that spending 15 minutes every day in God's Word and store up God's Word in your heart so that you may not sin against God and against neighbors. I also encourage the confirmands and the rest of you to consider not, you know, the Avengers and all these, you know, makeup story heroes, no, but the real life heroes. Who would draw the godly wisdom and courage and strength from God's word? Out of so many, I thought about Abraham Lincoln, but I chose William Wilberforce. How many of you know the name Wilberforce? Well, history, Wilberforce. He's the man, British man, parliament, member of the parliament, who spearheaded the ending of the slave trade in the British Empire. You see, America had to go through the Civil War to end the slavery, right? But British Empire, entire empire, didn't spill a dot, just one single drop of blood because they abolished the slave trade, okay, by this man. His name is William Wilberforce. In his journal, in 1819, he wrote, I quote, walked from Hyde Park in London, quoting the 119th Psalm to great profit. In other words, he carefully measured the distance and he recited every single verse in Psalm 119 and arrived at the Parliament. And he says, to great profit. And the entire verses and the entire Bible encouraged and empowered William Wilberforce to finish the slave trade in the entire British Empire. Do you want to be strong? Everyone wants to be strong. Let me tell you how you can be. Read God's word. Do you want to be wise? Tap into the wisdom of God and he will give you freely. Do you want to do good works? Well, as we read this morning, the Bible, the scripture is essential for every good work. It will equip you adequately. You know, I became a Christian when I was 17 years old. I was a junior in my high school at the time. I still remember my first day, first time in the church, sitting in the Sunday school. My Sunday school teacher asked the kids, how many of you, there are 12 of them, how many of you read the Bible daily? And you guessed it right, none of the hands were up. And I thought it was funny, I'm a new beginner, so of course I didn't read it, but the rest of the kids, I thought they did. They didn't. But you know what the teacher said? If you spend 15 minutes, exactly what I hear from me, 15 minutes a day, and you will be able to read 3 chapters a day, and if you read to continue on for a year, you will be able to finish the cover to cover the entire Bible, Old and New Testament. I started reading it on the following day, and sure enough, exactly a year later, I finished reading the Bible, first time ever. But you know what she did is that she instilled in me the habit of daily reading of the Bible, which still today I continue. I've been doing for 40 some years. Each day from God's word, I draw wisdom, I draw courage, I draw strength, and I draw directions for my life. If you have not done it, let me tell you this, you have done a great disservice to yourself. The quote is right there. Treasure is right there. You never opened it. The first advice is take God's word seriously. Do it daily. The second advice, you do this one weekly. What is that? Keep the Sabbath holy. Our compliments memorize the Ten Commandments. This is the fourth commandment of the Ten Commandments. Keep the Sabbath holy. Now, whenever you hear the word holy from the church and from the Bible, you have to consider set aside, set apart. You have all these good things and you say, I'm going to save this for a special occasion. That's what it means, to set apart, keep it holy. Go to Sunday morning services every Sunday, not because you have to. A lot of us think that, oh, church, don't ask me to go to church. But because you want to and because you choose to. Not because you are required to see God once a week, but you'd love to see your Heavenly Father and worship Him once a week. You know, my mother is in South Korea. And I made a habit of calling her once a week. We're 7,000 miles apart. But we have great technology nowadays, something called phone. So I call her every Wednesday night here and every Thursday morning there. You know, my mother, she's so delighted to hear from me, my voice, 92 years old, okay? She's so delighted to hear my voice. And to me, calling her once a week is not a chore, but sort of what a delight time together. Worship should be the same way. Now, attend the Sunday school, I encourage the compliments. Not because someone forces you to, but because you love to grow in God's word. Psalm 84:10 says this, a day in God's courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I asked myself, is verse true to me and with me? Not because I'm a pastor. Yes, indeed, I'd rather spend the day in God's court in the church rather than 1,000 days elsewhere, because I love spending time with God's people and God's children in church. I challenge you today, all of you, see if this verse is also true with you. Would you rather spend a day someplace else than in God's church? Ask yourself. Remember, confirmation is not the graduation from your faith. You know, I've done confirmation class years, almost 30 years. What saddens my heart is that Randy and Vanessa there too, and all the teachers would agree with me. As soon as the confirmation is over, guess what? We lose our kids. We lose our youth. The next time they come back to church is what? When they want to get married in the church. We are in serious trouble, folks. Because they think confirmation, hey, I learned about everything, I graduate from it. No. Confirmation is the beginning of your faith journey. Now, as they go along, confirmants go along, you will make their own choices in your faith and practice in Jesus Christ. Therefore, I encourage the confirmants to think wisely how you're going to spend your Sunday mornings. Consider how other people spend their Sunday mornings. Now, some people choose to sleep in. Others choose to play sports, and more others choose to go to the beach during the summer, and many more others choose to play computer games or watch Netflix, or others even choose to work for more money, and some entirely stop going to church. And some choose to go to church twice a year, and others choose to go to church once a month. However, you, the confirmants, can choose God on Sunday mornings. Learn to set aside a time. Remember the fourth commandment, keep the Sabbath holy, means that set aside a time once a week for God and for yourself. And put God first and honor Him by keeping the Sabbath holy. And let me tell you this, you will never regret it. You will never go wrong. I talked to you about consider real life heroes, right? My hero is Jesus Christ. I thought about how Jesus Christ, who was equal to God, who didn't have anything to learn about God and whatnot, right? How did he spend his Sabbath morning, Sabbath day? You know what? I found him always where? In the synagogue. Always in the temple of God. And I said, that's it. I'm going to follow his example. I'm going to spend the rest of my life every Sunday morning in the church. It has been good to me, folks. And let me tell you this. I told you that I became a Christian in my high school, in junior year. And if you're growing up in Korea, you may not like it. Why? Because in Korea, to get into college is everything. The competition is so fierce. You think in America going to college is tough? Wait until you go into Korea. Literally, even today, 40 years ago when I was growing up in high school, it was bad, but today it's worse. Literally, when you go into high school, to get into the college, you have to study hard. Day and night, 3 days. Sports, forget it. Band practice, forget it. No friendship whatsoever. You have to study and study. Why? Because if you don't, you have no chance of getting into college. So, typical high school kid spend 16 hours a day. I'm not making it up, folks. 16 hours a day, except, you sleep. You study, open the book, memorize, take tests and whatnot. If you don't do it, then guess what? You may not get into college if you wish. Anyway, I was going through the same thing. I became a Christian when I was a junior. I did everything on Sunday morning, whatever I wanted to do, until I started going to church. And I started going to church. And there was an enormous pressure on Sunday morning because schools, you're not going to school on Sunday. So what do? With the Sunday morning time? Typical kids say, I need to study more. They go to the library, they go to the study book, whatever, room. They study and so forth. And the Christian, high school kids have an enormous pressure. Should I go to church and worship and spend about 2 hours every Sunday? Or should I use that 2 hours, time to study? Guess what? As you imagined, a lot of kids caved into the pressure of what? Staying home and study. Well, yours truly, not that my faith was great. You have to remember I was a baby Christian. I thought, am I supposed to go to church Sunday morning? I didn't know about Ten Commandments at the time, right? So I thought, well, that's what we do. I kept going, and I had to make up my own mind. How am I going to spend my Sunday morning? Studying or worshiping? I made up my mind. I'm going to worship the Lord. What am I going to do with 2 hour loss of the study? And to make the long story short, exactly a year later, when I entered my college, not that I was the brightest kid, I entered in the top college, sort of Harvard in Korea. Okay? Now, the way I see it is this. The Lord rewarded me, my faithfulness to Him, with His faithfulness back to me. And I still believe, I can say this, it was not my academic or brilliance or intelligence that made me into college. It was the Lord. And that's another, you know, further testament later on. So you never go wrong when you keep the Sabbath holy. The third advice is this. I told you so far, one thing daily, one thing weekly, one thing monthly. Start giving tithes. You heard of the word tithe. What is tithe? It's 10% of your income and you give it to the Lord. Okay? And let me tell you, if you do this, you will experience the living God in an undeniable way that you could say to everybody, the Lord is alive. He's living in my life. Now listen to the word of God, Malachi 3. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house and thus put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you an overflowing blessing. You know, I'm a guy. If the Lord says one thing in the Bible, I say, I want to test it, whether it works for me or not. What good is it if the Lord says this is good for you and I tested it in my life and it doesn't work? And what good is it? Okay? So, by the way, in the entire Bible, Old and New Testament, this is the only place the Lord allows His people to put Him to the test. The rest of the time, God says, do not put me to the test, but except this one. What? Tithing. Give 10% of income. So I put the Lord to the test 40-some years ago. I was in my college years. You see, after I entered college, I got a tutoring job. My family was family of four, my mom and my older brother and my younger sister and me. So my mother was in a very tough spot. She used to have a business and she lost them all and 2 lawsuits against us and she was in a mess. I mean, financially my family was in trouble. I was the only one. So I took the tutoring job and my first check ever, I remember, I earned $40 in US dollars. You think $40 is nothing much, but back then in 1970s in South Korea, with $40, we could support family of four, my mom and my brother and sister and me, for the entire month. So I got the $40 at the time, actually it was a cash, so I set aside $4 and gave $36 to my mother for the entire family. My mom looked at $4 in my hand and she says, son, can we use the $4? We could use it for a day or two to support this family. And when we are better off, then we could pay back to the Lord. And I said, Mom, no, this is not yours and this is not mine. The Bible says this is God's. So I'm going to give it to the Lord. My mom was very disappointed. She was very unhappy with me. But I insisted and I gave to the Lord $4. Now, 2 years later, I found the Lord keeping His promise. That's why I call Him very faithful. Whatever He says, He keeps. Now, within 2 years, my family's tithe has grown 100-fold. I'm not making up. That is $400 a month my family was giving to the Lord. Now, you ask me, how did it happen? Folks, oh, what a great investment, isn't it? Within 2 years, 100-fold? Yes. And I still looking back, I feel like, am I dreaming this? What I discovered is that tithing works. Tithing is not about getting rich books. You can say, oh, I want that happen. I want to increase my income 100-fold in 2 years as Pastor Choi. No, that's wrong motive, folks. You don't give tithe to the Lord to get rich, okay? It is rather, what is tithing about? Rather, trusting God for our daily needs. So I'm speaking to the compliments. Start tithing when you're young. And when your income is small. I taught my the daughter, when she was getting about $20 allowance a month, set aside $2, and even today she's giving the tithe. I think you need to start tithing when your income is small. And we didn't share with the congregation, but don't think that God is poor, that He needs your money. Don't think that God is greedy to snatch away your money. Consider you are a parent and you give like 10 candies to your child. And at the end you say, child, can I have share candy with you? Can you give me one? And if the child says, no, this is all mine. You cannot have it. Versus a child, dad, you can have this one. You can have this one too. You can have the third one. That's what tithes is all about. Now, the reason for tithing is for you to understand that everything you own is not yours, but His. He gives all things to you. In return, He expects you to love Him more than anything else, especially the money. Tithing is the token of your love toward God. You will learn to love the giver over the gift. You know, some people try to love God and to love money at the same time. To those folks, Jesus says, you cannot serve both God and money. God wants you to tithe so that you may have a complete trust in God, not in money. I have been practicing tithing over 40 years, not that I'm bragging about. No, it's not that. But through tithe, one thing I learned is this. I was never disappointed with God, not even once. And one thing I can testify to you is this. God has given me such a security. Don't you want to have that financial security? For the next 100 years, I'll be fine. And that's the way to go. My tomorrow is secure in the Lord. So to compliment, I'll say one more thing and I'll be through. As you grow older, you will go into the world and you will hear a lot of messages from the world. I don't want you to be misled by them. And you'll be bombarded with many temptations in your identity and sexuality and pride and desires. And don't succumb to those temptations either. Remember who you are. You are a child of God and a follower of Christ. The future of our church and society depend on you. Live out your faith and pass it along to the next generation. Live a life worthy of the name of the Lord. One more time, read the Bible daily, attend the church weekly, and give your tithe to the Lord monthly, and then you will do well. Let's bow our heads and pray. Speak to our hearts, Lord. We cannot force anyone to love you. Love must be voluntary. But one thing you can do is help us. Create in our hearts the desire to love you more. I wish and I pray every one of us present today discover how great and awesome God is and what a wonderful privilege to be called your child. All what Christ has done for us, dying on the cross, yes, Lord, we are eternally grateful. I bless these compliments in your name so that as they continue their journey, surround them and help them to grow in your truth and in your grace and in your love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.